Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Today on the Zabecast, another bizarre story of social media and sports intersecting in a way that makes you say, what is wrong with people? Mike Francesa invents DraftKings on the air about 5 years too late, and Drew Olsen of the Big 920 with a summer barbecue FTG. If you've got 45 minutes to kill, then buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
Wednesday, June 13th, 2018. Thank you for downloading, and I apologize for the tardiness, but my God, the Capitals parade wore me out. Even though it was a really pleasant, beautiful, picture-perfect 76-degree day, early summer day, no humidity in the nation's capital. I mean, perfect. One last bit of puck luck. One last perfect bounce for this championship run by my hockey team to have the kind of weather we had yesterday for a gathering that was just phenomenal. I never in my wildest dreams imagined that many fans would come out to watch a hockey parade. I thought actually that if the Caps were to win a Stanley Cup, that they should not hold the parade down Constitution Avenue because there wouldn't be enough fans. It would look small. It would look lame. Not only did they come right down Constitution Avenue and it was packed on both sides, but the rally on the mall in front of the stage was packed as pretty much as far as the eye can see. It was the biggest rally ever on the mall. No, not even close. Estimates were not provided either by the Park Service or by the Washington Post because the only thing that estimating crowd sizes for rallies on the downtown mall do is just generate people getting pissy with each other saying, no, it was bigger. No, it wasn't. And then, you know, like with Trump's inauguration, you get aerial photos and people comparing stuff. It's just not worth it. It was a shitload of people all in red celebrating a glorious championship campaign. And the capper and the perfect footnote to end the entire campaign and to end the rally and to be the send-off cry was from our captain, Alex Ovechkin, who began the year by telling reporters we are not going to be suck this year in that adorable and endearing mangled English of his. But he capped the season with a R-rated variant of it at the rally.
That is the song that Caps have been singing. You've been watching this coverage live of the parade and the rally. Okay, so guys, 1 second.
Before the year, I said, not me say, it's just us saying, we're not going to be fucking sunk this year. We're the Stanley Cup champions! Yeah!
That is absolutely brilliant. Good stuff. Great day, and I was very blessed to be a part of it. Now, we have business to take care of in this regard. Many of you have been emailing me, tweeting me, texting me, saying, so, when are you going to update the avatar for this Zabecast, because as you know, it's a picture of me, Photoshop picture of me in my Capitals pajamas, opening a mythical box, a pizza box that says lifetime supply of playoff disappointment. The lifetime supply actually ran out, which is a miracle unto itself. And I was not disappointed this year. In fact, I was joyously and wonderfully satiated, like every Capitals fan was. So what now do I do with this logo? What do I do with this avatar? I think here's my answer. Whoever designs what I deem the winning redesign of the Zabecast avatar will win a Zabe prize pack and credit, full credit for your design prowess, but a Zabe prize pack of stuff that I've got in my basement. And I don't know, I sold off a lot of my soft goods I had stored up, but I'll find you something. I'll get you something nice. Trust me, I'll get you something nice for the winter. And of course, the eternal recognition and the glory of, yes, I redesigned the new Stanley Cup or avatar. And it may not be necessarily, it could be anything actually. It doesn't have to be this photo. Anything you want to make as the new avatar for the Zabecast, have at it. And send those submissions to me, zabe@yahoo.com. Zabe@yahoo.com. That's my email. Duh. Hello. Wake up. Somebody did do a hasty Photoshop that had a Stanley Cup in the box, and they had Photoshopped a more enthusiastic smile on my face, which I didn't realize at first. I was like, hey, wait a minute. I think that picture is somewhere in my Twitter timeline. I'm looking at it going, what's different about this? I know there's the cup here, but what is different? And then I was like, oh, look at the face. Because in the original photo of me in that picture from my mom on, you know, Christmas morning, I had an unsure, sort of caught me unawares, like, hey, Steven, look up here. Steven, look up here. And I was like, And I wasn't really smiling. I wasn't frowning, but I wasn't smiling. Somebody Photoshopped a big old smile on my face, and it's pretty funny. So have at it, and we will have a new logo, new avatar, new album cover, whatever you want to call it, for the Zabecast. All right, before we get to Drew, one more thing. No, I think that's it, actually. Yeah, that's it. Let's get right to Drew. We got a lot of good stuff with Drew today. And then I have a weirdo story at the end of the show today that combines two of my favorite things that both mystify me and confound me, nature and numbers. So without further ado, we go further ado with Drew Olsen. Hey, everybody. Say hello to Drew Olsen of the Big 920 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh, Zabe, it's good to be back on the Zabecast. Seems like
good
weeks.
To have you back. Good to have you back. We have actually a lot of ground to cover, even though we are heading into the dreaded doldrums of sports. The big ride that is the roller coaster has come to a screeching halt as the hockey playoffs and the NBA playoffs have ended, and so now we are thrust into the summer with, what, 70 days until the first meaningful tackle football game?
Indeed. You know what? I've come around to just embrace these times, because this is when a show like mine, where we can talk about the excruciating minutiae, this is where we shine. Yes, everybody indeed. Else is saying, what Packers rookie do you think will have the biggest impact on the team in October?
It's by the way.
Come on.
Yeah, you're right. There's actually a lot of good, fun stuff to be done in the summer because you do venture a little bit further afield. And there's always something. There's always a story that you're like, wow, where did this one come from? Have you heard about this story from the Ottawa Senators?
I can say unequivocally no.
Okay. It's really fucked up. I have no idea. I don't really think it necessarily affects the team in any way, shape, or form. But it's just, if true, it just shows that people in this internet age have become the worst human beings we have ever become. Basically, the star player for the Ottawa Senators had a child who ended up being stillborn. And the girlfriend of a teammate of his created fake Twitter accounts to basically mock the star player for the Ottawa Senators on the loss of his child.
Oh, my God. How did I know that Twitter would be involved in this story? Because you said something about the worst of humanity. I'm like, oh, that makes me think of Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's basically it. It's like, what is wrong with people that they would actually do this kind of stuff? Let me get you the story here. Of course, I should have had it right away, Zabe. But yeah, and now there's a restraining order that has been filed, in which they try to they're going to try to make this woman like just stop it already. You know?
Wow, I see. It's Monica Carrick, the girlfriend of Mike Hoffman.
Yes, she was the one that was sending the tweets out under fake and or burner accounts, and so now the Ottawa Senators are in full damage control mode. And given that the two hockey players are teammates, damn it, why can't I find the story here? Driving me fucking crazy.
I found it.
You got it?
I found it, yeah. CBSNews.com. Wishing my unborn child dead. NHL star's wife says teammate's fiance harassed couple.
And name of the star? Eric Carlson, that's who it is.
Yes, he has filed an order of protection against the fiancé of one of his teammates alleging harassment and cyberbullying. Now, his Melinda Carlson is the wife. Monica Carrick is the girlfriend of Mike Hoffman, who is her longtime partner, and he is the Senator's forward.
I mean, what the fuck? Now, do you think there's more to this?
Clearly.
That might be a love triangle.
Carlson
kind of
also claimed that Carrick uttered that she wished I was dead and that someone should take out my husband's legs to end his career.
Nice, huh?
They claim she has posted over 1,000 negative and derogatory statements about me as a professional.
Nice.
Wow.
People lose their minds on the internet, and especially on social media, anti-social media, or rage media, or hate media, or just psycho media is what it is. Social media, things you would never say to somebody's face. You feel like, oh yeah, I can do this on social media. Watch this. Let me hide behind this anonymity and be a totally horrible person.
Yeah, I'll act like a bot.
So what do you think this girlfriend, now that she has been outed, what do you think her line of defense is going to be?
Well,
me? Or
the thing is, how do you, if it's a protection claim or something, again, how do you get caught with this without the power of subpoena and someone going into Instagram, Twitter or something? And
I think,
like,
there's ways. You
how do the government?
The dots.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess it's sort of like Brian Colangelo, you know, it's that writ large. And this is a new avenue for sports. But I'll tell you this, having been around pro sports teams and stuff and as a beat hack, you're on the fringes of it. But you can see that the wives dynamic, the wives and girlfriends dynamic, is an important factor in locker room clubhouse chemistry.
Either positive or negative, right?
Yes. It can be positive. It can be negative. There is no doubt. And there is it can be cliquish. It's not unlike the high school cafeteria. You know, it can be a drain. It can cause problems that, whether or not they have a huge impact on the court or on the field, I'm not sure. But it can be a drain and a concern. And there are, I've seen guys traded where the GM will say, thank God we got rid of him and his wife, you know, or, oh God, his old lady was such a rag that, oh,
right.
Jesus.
Right.
Yeah, there are some people, and it's a lot like any other workplace, but there are some people who are bitter, and like the rookies' wives and girlfriends can be taken under their wing, sometimes in a good way and sometimes in a learn how to bitch and moan about everything way.
And the wives, if they don't know everything, they know a lot of almost everything.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
They are in on the loop, and they share and they gossip, and they're and that's why, you know, if you are a dude on a team, you got to control your woman. You got to make sure she stays on the reservation and doesn't talk and doesn't go out, because Colangelo's wife cost her husband a seven figure.
Yeah.
Making a million. Seven figure dream job.
A career.
A career. Exactly. But all because of this little thing on your phone known as social media and Twitter, thinking, oh, I can be anonymous. Yeah, this would be cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll do this.
And then you actually believe, though, that he was not aware of, you know, what was going on. I think he might have been.
I don't believe that.
I think he might have been aware, or, you know.
Don't you think he knew goddamn well what was going on? Don't you think he saw what was being tweeted?
Oh, I,
don't you think he full well knew that
he
it was
knew
his
it was
wife?
Her. Yeah,
thought?
I think absolutely.
He probably thought I have two fallbacks here. One fallback is these are anonymous accounts. Who's going to find out who's behind?
Yeah, and then the other one was it wasn't me, it was my wife.
That, there you go.
Exactly.
And then the two fallbacks fell, and now he's out of a job.
I'll tell you this, Abe. It didn't even take social media for this to have an impact in this last generation, or maybe even, a generation ago, because when players started making all kinds of money and wives decided that they could go on road trips whenever they wanted, and wives began to avail themselves, it was probably, I mean, it's changed, but
80s?
I was going to say probably mid-90s-ish.
Oh, mid-90s. Okay.
Yeah, mid-90s probably. Because
didn't Wade Boggs have a girl in every city?
A lot of guys did, and that's the thing. And that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about, where if one wife finds out that her husband, and I've heard of an episode of this with a team that I did not cover, but a friend of mine told me the story, and I totally believe it, that a very marquee player was caught by his wife cheating, stepping out. And what happened was she basically went to all the other wives and said, they're all fucking around on all of you. And then it was like total crackdown. So she like blew the whistle on everybody else. And then what happened was wives of guys who were like not secure in their marriage and stuff started to go on almost every road trip. And what would they see coming back from dinner would be player X with a woman, not his wife. And that became like, get your hag off the trip. And it became, what are you doing? You're cramping our style on the road. And so
tears the team apart from the inside.
Yeah. Clubs have always had like family trips that were designated like, hey, we're going to this trip. We're going to be in Southern California. We're going to Disneyland, the happiest place on earth. This is a family trip. You can bring your wives and kids.
Right.
Yes. And then they did that once a season and the rest of the time. Now, almost every trip can be a family trip because wives come on a lot of the trips because they have the disposable income and the nannies and they can make that happen.
What if you're a young guy who's not married, not with a steady girlfriend, and you just want to sample the buffet that is Major League Pussy?
Well, and
city by city.
That's
by
the
city.
Thing. It's not, from what I can tell, and I'm not in the day-to-day, I'm not in the trenches like I used to be, but it's more on the down low. In this era of Tinder and stuff, there are a lot of guys who literally, I mean, the whole thing about them playing Fortnite and stuff, that's not really wrong because guys are afraid to go out like they once were because of social media because everybody's got a camera and they're going to get caught somewhere. And
social media, there's actually three levels now of danger. It's like three levels of flak, anti-aircraft, and heat-seeking missiles that could take a guy out of the sky, whereas once upon a time, none of this existed. The first level is just basic social media, which is, I got you on video snogging some skank outside a restaurant, and it's going to go viral and be, like, embarrassing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Second level is, hey, this chick is going to get pregnant, and then you're going to have a little junior on the payroll for 18 years, which is going to suck.
Yeah.
The third level is the sexual assault level.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the anti-aircraft. That is the heat-seeking missile, the air-to-air AMRAAM that could take your plane, kaboom, clear out of the sky. So guys today, I can imagine they probably don't even want to leave their rooms. That's why Fortnite is so damn popular.
They got their guard up. There's no doubt. And then, I talked to guys who played 20 years ago, and I'm like, hey, does it piss you off that guys are making the money that they do now? And if you just, the timing with your career, there's guys that made, 10, 12 million in a long career.
And what do the veterans say? Because we got drunk and banged chicks.
That's what
right.
they say. They say the trade-off is that we didn't have that fucking everybody with a camera. We had more fun than they're having now. So I wouldn't trade my period for anything. You're also forgetting that the other thing, because I thought of it when Edelman got pinched for PEDs.
Yeah.
Didn't like after they won the Super Bowl a couple years back, one of their Super Bowls, didn't some chick take a selfie in a hotel bed with him sleeping behind her and say, fucked Edelman.
No lie. Fucked Edelman. No lie. And she was just a known townie skank that had been following the Patriots for some time. Yeah.
And he got drunk and fell asleep next to her and she took the selfie and it became,
Luckily though, I think he was single, so he didn't have the fallout, I guess, was minimal other than mild embarrassment. But what a bitch she is, huh? It's like, way to go. Way to break that trust of, hey, we won a championship. Let's have some fun. Okay, great. That's why if you're an athlete, you got to kick them out. You got to do the Jeter thing where you confiscate the cell phones first and foremost.
And give them a gift bag and send them on their way.
Yeah, and you're like, we're done. Goodbye.
Oh, no, can't we come?
And again, and again, it goes to the brilliance of the warlock, Charlie Sheen, when he was in the Heidi Fleiss case. And Charlie Sheen, you're a famous movie star. Why are you paying hookers to come to your place? I don't pay him to come over. I pay him, to leave, baby. Exactly. That's what he said. The other layer of this, Zabe, is that now the wives stuff, the jealousies and the whispering and stuff that used to just be in the wives section of the ballpark or in the stadium or in, you know, the family lounge, it now has a platform on social media.
Yeah.
So they can hear that stuff.
I think punishment for this girlfriend that was tweeting that stuff, allegedly, to the star player Alex, what can I think of his fucking
it's
name?
It's Carlson. Eric Carlson.
Eric Carlson. I always think Daniel Alfredson was the absolute all-time face of the Ottawa Senators. Carlson, the girl that was tweeting this shit at Eric Carlson and his wife, as punishment, as court-ordered punishment, should have to be on TV for 1 hour and to take questions from a line of people as long as that wants to stand in line to just ask her, what the fuck is wrong with you? 1 hour, Drew,
yeah.
Televised and recorded to the internet forever as she's, I'm sure, in tears as line after, as person after person after person lines up to get to the microphone and go, yeah, we had a child that was stillborn. What in the fuck would make you think that this is a good thing to tweet at anybody? What kind of soulless ghoul are you?
So,
I don't know. I was just jealous. Shut up. Stay on this TV show. You got 48 minutes left.
And meanwhile, we'll put up images of loved ones you've lost while people ridicule them.
Well, you know.
Well, dose of your own medicine, Zabe. Come on.
It would be, but that would rope in other family members, wouldn't it?
I suppose, yeah. The pain would be.
Yeah, I think you just need to emotionally
just say, what
this
the fuck?
Woman. Of course, this woman then, after she gets off this one-hour-long show, would probably go commit suicide. And then everyone would be like, see, you know, more hate does not solve hate.
Like,
you
hey.
You gotta confront hate with love.
Francesa just invented DraftKings. Zabe just invented the Jerry Springer show.
Okay.
Sally Jesse.
And why don't we use that as a jumping off point? I know you heard me talk about this on Bob and Brian.
I did.
I got to run it by you, and I got to get it here on the Zabecast, because for those that didn't hear it, you're going to like it. Mike Francesa, the guy who thought he was going to have all kinds of people just falling over themselves to pay him even more money than he was making to WFAN at some new media venture, finds out it's a cold, cold world out there media-wise, and that east of the Hudson or west of the Hudson, nobody gives a shit about Mike Francesa. In fact, he's viewed as a joke and a fraud by some people outside of New York City. So he comes crawling back to his old job at FAN, like, yeah, what's the big deal, claiming it's because he's going to launch a new app sometime later this year that's going to revolutionize the audio distribution of long-form sports talk radio, whatever. And he ends up being number one, Drew, after just a couple of months back. He was number one for the month this past month in the Target demo, beating his rival Michael Kay, which is really one of the most Frank Grimesian moments in sports radio where, you know, like in The Simpsons, when Frank Grimes can't believe Homer Simpson has a job and is incensed that it's like, don't you see this guy's an idiot? I would imagine if you're Michael Kay, you're looking at, you know, the listeners in New York going, do you listen to this guy? He's a moron. Like, I know he's your favorite guy from 25 years on air, but he doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, he was number one, and now apparently he is inventing something that's already been invented. DraftKings. Here's the audio from the other day on the show, and kudos to the guy who runs the Funhouse account on Twitter. That would be a guy, I don't know his name. He wants to remain anonymous. So let me get this here. This is what happens, Drew, when you have literally 25 tabs open.
Yeah.
You think, oh, no, I got it right here. I'm good to go. And then you're like, what happened? I had 25 tabs open. I can't find it. Here we go. Right here. Okay. Here's Mike Francesa talking to a caller about legalized gambling, which is now come to America outside Nevada.
The states are smart. They will take people who really understand this. Okay, and let them create games that would attract people. And there are games. If I created a game for you.
By the way, as if straight gambling, Drew, was not enough to attract sports fans.
Yeah.
Okay, games. Mike has ideas. Games, all right? Gambling games that these sports books, if they're smart, and if they were really smart, they'd let him in 15 minutes cook up 10 different games, are going to start offering.
That plays into your football or basketball or baseball expertise. And you could, for a $20 or $50 in total, have a chance to win big money based on how you play it. That will be an exciting play for you, okay? That will be a very exciting play for the average guy. And I think you can create something where the payoffs are not a dollar in a dream like the lottery, where the odds are you got a better chance of getting hit by lightning, but that if you have a skill, there will be a game. I could create 10 games in 15 minutes if they gave me 15 minutes to do it. And those games have created...
This, by the way, from the guy who fell asleep on the air. I don't think he could come up with 10 different games in 15 minutes. I don't think he works at that pace.
No.
Same guy that scrolled through his phone for like a minute going, yeah, hold on a second.
Created properly will be very enticing to the public. And what's good about them is the bookmakers don't have the same games. They don't have the mechanism. They don't like coupled bets. They don't like the chance of you winning a lot with a little.
In other words, the bookmakers don't like parlays or coupled bets, which is the wrongest thing ever. Bookmakers will drive you in a limousine to the doorstep of a parlay. The bigger the parlay, the better. They love parlays, and they love teasers as well. That's another game, by the way, that the bookmakers already have, teasers. You want to move the line 7 points? Okay, great. We'll let you do that. But you got to hit three games in which you move the line 7 points or whatever the teaser is. Two-team teaser, four-team teaser. They already have these games. They have over-unders, Drew. They have first-half bets, second-half bets. There's already games here.
They frown on that. They don't want that. They want you to bet dollar for dollar. They really want you to pay 11 for 10 is what they want you to do. So they want that bet.
Well, it's not that they want you to bet 11 for 10. You are going to bet 11 for 10 because there's not a bookie in America that does not charge the VIG or that 10%.
They don't want this other bet, and this other bet is where the states, if they're imaginative, will make their money.
No, the states are going to make their money just opening the window.
Exactly, no taking the rake.
Right. There's no way.
That's why the leagues have their palms out saying, hey, we need a little integrity fee for the effort, you know.
When was the last time you heard bookmaker closes couldn't earn a dime? Yeah, we tried it. We tried offering betting on sports and other events, and we just couldn't figure out a way to make it work.
Should we be surprised by this, by Francesa's naivete? Is this naivete or what?
Hold that thought.
Okay.
Hold that thought, because we're getting to the good part
now.
This
is it.
A minute 27 in. Here's where it gets really good.
Create a game in 15 minutes for you. Like, let's say I create a game where you get to pick five players tonight in the major leagues.
Ooh, hold the phone, Drew.
Oh, man.
I pick five players? Wait, I'm all ears, Mike.
All right? And if your five players, based on numeric totals.
Numeric totals. Mm. Where would I find those? In the back of a newspaper, maybe?
Have better offensive numbers for the night.
Oh, I'm so intrigued right now. Do tell more.
Than any other five players, you win $50,000.
Oh, my God. It's like he invented DraftKings.
He just did.
Oh,
brilliant.
Wow. Brilliant. Genius.
Unbelievable.
says this with brilliant. Total earnesty, like, you know.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
It's like he must not get around very much. Hold on.
And the fee is $10 to get in. People will buy that. They'll play it like crazy.
But you see, here's the thing, Mike. This is what DraftKings and FanDuel found out. It's really hard to beat the sharks.
Yep.
It's really hard to beat the nerds with the computer algorithms and the 200 accounts that flood every contest with a highly vetted statistical combination of players. You're the casual fan going, do-do-do-do-do. Oh, I like Stanton tonight. I like Harper tonight. I like Trout tonight. How can that team lose?
They will play it all night. And you can create different ones. You can create ones that pay $10,000, that pay...
Yeah, they already do this.
$5,000.
Yeah, they already do that.
But if you give the average guy a chance to win $5,000 for his $10, it's going to do it.
Yeah. In fact, that is exactly what drew the attention and the ire of regulators with DraftKings and FanDuel, is that they overhyped the, hey, an average dude, bro, with a backwards baseball cap could become a millionaire. And that's what they promoted in all of their copy, all their advertising. Yep. Drew, you took their dollars. I took their dollars. You read their scripts. I read their scripts. And that was their big push for the first couple of years, like 2015, 2016. And then the Fed started coming in going, wait a minute. What are the real chances of actually winning $1 million? And are you mischaracterizing what it takes as an average fan bumbling in the door with a casual knowledge of baseball or football or basketball? And so then they shifted away from that message. I was in those conference calls with the advertising client. You were in those conference calls with the advertising client. They're like, yeah, we're kind of playing down the whole millionaire aspect. We're not doing the opening day millionaire contest. Because the Sharks and the Sharps figured out a way to beat everyone's face.
Weren't you always skeptical, though, that they could just get, say they get 10,000 people in this league for, you know, for $100,000?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, oh, you know, sorry, you didn't win.
Somebody else did.
Somebody who doesn't exist.
Beanball 9267 was the winner.
Was the winner. And that account that we created that doesn't exist, but we had an algorithm, and we just punched his picks in after the games. And, oh, he won. You came and said, good job. Good try. Or you finished out of the money. Here's the guys who won the money. Fake accounts we created. I thought that would be, this was rife for that. Like, they could never pay out. It's a slot machine that would never pay out.
I was always skeptical of that. There's no question about it. Even if they claim transparency and they said, well, here's everyone's lineup beforehand, and you can go back and we have proof of it that this lineup from Beanball 26791 was in there before.
But then, weren't some interns caught like putting in lineups like at the last possible second because they, based on the algorithm of everybody who everybody else picked?
Well, that's the
and
thing.
That was it. It was massaged. Yeah.
Some of the insiders knew where the herd was going in a particular night.
Yeah.
And so they made a counterintuitive bet going, well, if for some reason tonight Max Scherzer takes a shit and pitches poorly, then it's going to be very beneficial to not be on Scherzer because pretty much the entire pool is on him and a bunch of other guys. And so, yes, there was insider stuff going on. They had an ability through computer scripts to fire in lineups at the last second en masse, almost like a machine gun. And the average person clicking, refresh, set lineup, click, couldn't possibly do it that fast. So then they started to ban the use of scripts to change a mass amount of lineups. Then they started to filter out the so-called pros. Then they started to create kiddie pools of players that may have a low total of entries. That was one thing they could see. They're like, well, this guy's only played a couple of games and he hadn't won but one of them, so he looks like a newbie. Let's let him into this kiddie pool game. But then the Sharks were going, okay, I'll create another account that looks like a noob.
Yep.
That's played a bunch of low stakes games that's only won once, and I'll get into these pools and I'll clean up there.
Yep.
So Francesa is like, oh, this is great. Watch
so
this. Here's the thing. He's not totally wrong. And here's something that my friend Charch told me right here on this very Zabecast. I said to Charch, whose bread and butter is fantasy sports, has made his living as one of the biggest players in fantasy sports, the head of the Fantasy Sports Trade Association, the FSTA. I said, Charge, this legalized gambling is bad, right? It's bad for you guys. And he said with no stiff upper lip, with a genuine enthusiasm in his voice, no, this is great for us. And I said, how? Why? Explain. Here's his explanation. So like Francesa was saying, okay, pick five guys. And then if you put a small amount in, you win a large amount. Basically fantasy, basically FanDuel. What Charge said is that the books in various states will now offer pseudo-fantasy games where they say pick five players, any five players. And if those five players total more than 200 points, you automatically win money. Maybe you win $60 off a $5 entry. So in other words, Drew, you're not playing against anybody.
You're playing against the game.
You're playing against a line drawn on an outfield wall, and the bookmakers say, hit the ball over the line, we'll pay you. It doesn't matter how many other people have.
There you go.
And so that is an actual hybrid of gambling and fantasy.
That's
and there was a bunch of other, you know, variations and another twist that Charge said is in on it. Also, Charge's point was, well, fantasy's not going away. People still like to play fantasy. They've got friends that gather for it. There is a level of strategy. You're following the players and who you're going to trade and who you're going to drop. So gambling itself is not going to make it go away, because there's been gambling, illegal gambling, all alongside fantasy for these many years that hadn't killed it yet. But there will be another layer to it that he says will help the industry. Maybe there's a little wishful thinking there, Drew.
Perhaps. I can see it, though. All right.
Now,
so
back to Francesca.
Yeah.
Back to Francesca.
Well, first
you were going to make your point, so go ahead and tell me.
The naivete, like, he's been around, and it's in the ether, and yes, he's your grandpa and stuff, but I'm wondering, is there some brilliance in that he came up with this, or is he had all the DraftKings ads that he heard pounded through in his subconscious, and he just wasn't paying attention? This is a guy who, all right, the most dominant force in our industry, Zabe, for years has been what? Twitter. He got on Twitter last month.
Exactly.
And he's tweeting bragging, stuff.
He started bragging, I'm only using 20% of this right now. Watch when I, you know,
yes,
learn and use the other 80%.
And he's tweeted, I just looked it up, 170 tweets. He's got 79,000 followers, and he doesn't follow anybody, so he's not really using Twitter, right?
Wait a minute. He doesn't follow anyone.
He doesn't list anybody that he follows. He doesn't follow anybody. Why would he? He's Mike Francesa. Everybody follows him.
He has zero follow. He's
following
nobody.
There's no, yeah. It says 170 tweets, 79.4K followers. Doesn't show that he's following anybody.
What does it say following? Is it possible that
just,
he's...
It's empty. It just doesn't show anything. I don't see.
Maybe he's hit his following. That might be possible.
Could be. It might be. I don't think. Is it? Can you do that?
There are some accounts.
Well, then I want to see somebody's got to hack that, because if he's following, like, you know, big titted Asian women or something like that,
No, well, there's some accounts.
Privacy settings.
I don't know. I'm just saying that there's some accounts in sports.
Let me take a look.
There's some accounts in sports. There's some sports personalities that are a bit polarizing, both on the left and the right, that I don't follow. Because I don't want anybody to see me following them, because I just don't want to hear the fucking bullshit of, oh, you follow that guy, huh? Or you follow that girl, huh? It's like, hey, fuck you. You know what? I follow people because I want to see certain things and just make sure it's on my radar. Even if I hate their guts and don't believe in anything they believe in, I still want to see, keep an eye on, kind of thing.
I hear you. Yeah.
The comments, by the way, off this clip posted by my friend at Funhouse at Back After This. You should follow at Back After This for Mike Francesa Gold. Unintentional gold of, yeah, he's sometimes really, really clueless. The comments and the tweets after this are hilarious, like this one. His app cannot get here quick enough. By the way, he's predicted they're going to release this app in August. Others have said, how about I predict never they're going to release this app. His app can't get here quick enough. I see visions of Knocked Up when Seth Rogen and his friends are inventing the celebrity nude site.
Run
across Mr. Skin.
He did
that
tweet. Francesa tweeted yesterday, the quiet time for the app is almost over. We will be announcing pricing, content, and launch dates very soon. I will do an app Q&A soon.
Whoa, pricing?
Yes.
I got to pay? No.
That's what he said. We will be announcing pricing, content, and launch dates very soon. I'll do an app Q&A here very soon. That's from him. And by the way, it does say he follows zero people. So wouldn't that be vintage Francesa to not follow
anybody on
Twitter? Because he doesn't care what anybody else says.
I think some people follow one person to be cheeky, and that one person is sometimes like a spoof account, like at God.
Yeah.
I follow at God. That's the only guy I follow. That's totally doing Twitter wrong, because Twitter really is just, it's best as a news aggregating feed. Where people will then push forward their articles and thoughts and opinions, and you can just scroll through it. If you're following nobody, you're really not doing Twitter right.
And you can follow people and then mute them, like to your point.
I mute the shit out of people.
Yeah, rather than block them.
No, because people now take blocking as a badge of honor.
Yeah.
And they know that they are blocked. The best is when you mute them, because then they're doing this all day. Hey, you suck, you asshole. And you're like, I can't hear you.
Exactly.
I don't even see you.
Got these championship rings in my ears. I can't hear you.
You have been vaporized on Twitter. I love this tweet. Guy says, and you got to imagine the Francesa voice. I say you take five guys, like, for example, take five guys named Jones, Got to be five guys, same last name. Take them for the night. Your five Jones are against my five Smiths. Maybe someone else has five Wilsons. Okay, guys would eat that up. $5 to win 50,000 on Joneses or Smiths all day long. Regular guys make that bet all day long. That's my game right there.
There's a reply to Francesa's tweet about his app and the pricing. And this guy, Dan, says, Mike, will there be a feature where someone can record their voice and it comes out sounding like you? Literally can't think of any other reason your app would be good. I'll hang up and listen.
And we cackle in the wake of his now $3 million a year salary, which used to be a $6 million a year salary, but he overplayed his hand.
As a young lad in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, Zabe, when we first got the cable and I was availed of all the superstations, one of them was WOR in New York, right? And I would tune in to see a talk show, the Joe Franklin Show, which Billy Crystal made fun of on Saturday Night Live and stuff. It was a very local, New York-y, old Jewish guy. You ask people who remember it, and you Google him up, and you'll see. But it was just it's the cheesy, like, local Merv Griffin, and he was a stud in New York. I'm like, wait, New Yorkers must be weird. This is a terrible show, and he's boring and old, and but they like it, and he was famous, and he was big in New York, and that was my first exposure to the culture of, wow, you know, the regionalism, you know?
Yeah.
Every town has their people who are big in their own hometown or their own, you know, little pond.
I need to look him up on YouTube. Joe Franklin Show.
Yes.
Okay.
Joe Franklin. I swear that there was Billy Crystal did a character on Saturday Night Live that was just a direct ripoff of the Joe Franklin Show.
Somebody should do a website or just a single page that has a compilation of weird old talk shows. Weird old, but classic niche talk shows. I'm talking things like, who was Tom somebody? He would smoke and
Tom
laugh.
Snyder.
He was Tom Snyder.
He's from my hometown. He's from Milwaukee. Yeah.
So Tom Snyder Show would be a
he
good
would sit
one.
There and smoke and do interviews and interrupt people
and just laugh like.
Yes. I'm telling you,
he's got a weird sort of annoying laugh.
Well, watch the Dinah Shore Show or the Merv Griffin. Like Merv Griffin, Kramer did the takeoff on the whole Merv Griffin set.
But those are too big though.
Those were big, but they were still cheesy and awful.
Okay. I'm looking for the niche ones like you mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
cable access-y kind of.
Well, cults.
Cults, cult, yeah.
Cult classic shows. Like, remember, who was the guy that would get in people's faces?
Oh, Morton Downey.
Morton Downey.
Yeah.
Not Morton Downey Jr. Morton Downey.
Morton Downey.
The Morton Downey Show, when he would just get in people's faces and go into a fit of rage and call them a puke.
Yeah.
He'd smoke on the show. Of course, he went over the line. He claimed that he was beaten up by Nazis. And they shaved a swastika. They painted a swastika in his head after shaving it. And he showed up all beat up. And I think that was a complete hoax.
I think you're right.
All right. One more real quick on radio. And then we're running along here. My timer says at least 29 minutes. I started late, though, so I bet we're running more like 40 right now.
We're at 35.
35 right now. We've got 5 minutes. Okay. All right. Should Jim Rome be in the Radio Hall of Fame?
Sure.
Well, that was quick.
Sure.
And why is that?
Because, based on, I don't even know. I know of some people in the Radio Hall of Fame, but what's your criteria? He was hugely successful.
Well, my criteria doesn't matter. You know how they actually induct people?
I don't. Isn't it like, I would say at first blush, you're telling me Radio Hall of Fame. It sounds to me like the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Like if you buy a star, you can get in if your company buys your entry into the Hall of Fame. I don't know. What is it?
The National Radio Hall of Fame takes the best of the best from all formats, puts them up for nomination, and then they make the hosts lobby to get in by asking their fans to vote.
Oh, wow.
Fans are given a chance to vote twice. And there's, I guess, some way in which they can prevent rigging of the internet vote. But you go to radiovote.com or text 800 to 9600 to support specific nominees. And so what it does is it turns guys like you and me, hosts, into hucksters begging to be put into the Hall of Fame. I think this is completely fucked up. And I'm not saying Jim should or should not be a Hall of Famer. I think the way they do it, though, is completely ass backward.
Yeah. by that measure, but Jim, he was selling out stadiums and arenas in multiple cities, and he was, you know, I don't know about revolutionary, but
he was big. Look, the guy owns racehorses.
Yeah.
Like,
he's
who
big.
Cares if he's in the Hall of Fame or not?
Yeah,
he owns fucking racehorses.
But that's the thing, and I'll say this because I spent a lot of time in the newspaper industry, and now I've seen newspapers pander for Pulitzers. I've seen the pandering for the awards, and it's such a circle jerk. Media awards, I mean, media shouldn't be getting awards and shouldn't be giving each other awards. And, you know, save that for the Oscars and the Tonys and all that other shit.
But we're not journalists. We are entertainers.
We're entertainers, sure, but it's the idea that that's somehow validation. There's a Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. They have annual awards and stuff. And I know that the press clubs and stuff, and some people win every year and some people don't. And some people win in categories like, you know, Jethro Tull winning best heavy metal record. It's like, what the fuck? And it comes down to, well, who entered, and they have to pay to enter, and you know, multiple entries, you flood the zone.
Yeah,
it's manipulation. It's all bullshit. And some people take promos, and other people see it for the circle jerk that it is.
Yeah.
I say that as a guy who will never win any awards. So
I know. I don't really have any broadcasting awards that I can think of.
Your award comes on the 1st and the 15th of every month, Dave.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And can I afford to send my kids to college? That's the award.
That's the award. Yeah.
I was just over at Andy Poland's house, and I saw he's still in the state of unpacking because he moved. And one of the things he unpacked in his office was a handful of little, you know, Lucite monument trophies from back in the day at radio stations here, there, and whatever. And I'm sure he's quite proud of them, and they're nostalgic items, but I guarantee you right now he'd trade every one of those for a full-time job because he's still doing part-time stuff at a couple different places, and that's just the nature of the biz.
Well, that's the way the business goes. I have the ultimate awards, Abe. The one that I keep, I did some sideline work on like Brewers and Bucks broadcasts a couple of years back for Fox Sports Wisconsin, and the pregame show that I was on a bunch of times got nominated for an Emmy. And they sent me like a certificate, like this really thing that, you know, Emmy nomination to show that I was nominated for this, that the show I was on said that, had my name and it said like Brewers Live or Bucks Live on it or something. And they spelled my fucking name wrong. The way you spell it, O-L-S-E-N. It's O-N, son.
The way I used to spell it.
But they spelled my name wrong and it's on this official looking certificate. So, of course, I have that framed. The rest of it is just bullshit.
It is or is not Olson?
It is old son. It is son. Think son. I'm a son of old. Not S-E-N. All the Norwegians spell it wrong. That spell it E-N. I'm an O-N.
Okay. What's my mnemonic then to remember old son?
I don't know. That I'm the son of old.
That doesn't make any sense.
The S-O-N. Just think of the S-O-N as the son.
You know what? You're a son of a bitch.
There you go. That's it. That's the device.
Drew Olson. A good son of a bitch.
Yes. Damn it.
One of my favorite sons of bitches. Christian Hackenberg has been cut from the Raiders. I just have to slip this in real quick. What a complete debacle of a pure Jets draft pick. Second round pick out of Penn State. Every pundit on draft day said, "Ooh, that's a bit of a reach for Hackenberg. We had him in the 5th round or later." Second round by the Jets. Never plays a single snap despite one of the worst parades of quarterbacks ahead of him that played for several forgettable seasons. Traded to the Raiders for a conditional draft pick next year. And that draft pick will not be going east because the Raiders, after 3 weeks of the off-season program, have cut Christian Hackenberg. How humiliating is that? You didn't even get a chance to go to camp in August to say, well, let me see what I can do with the full roster and full pads. No. You suck. Get out.
Well
Christian
done.
Hackenberg, sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
Sorry for that. Anything else you want to add before we get to fuck that guy and wrap the show here?
I think I'm good. It's vacation season, but I embrace this time of year, Zabe. I try to. Go into it with that mindset. You get parade fever to talk about for a couple days yet.
I talked about the parade, and I'm done with the parade because not only are Bob and Brian's listeners done with me talking about a hockey team, but also my podcast listeners are saying enough of the fucking hockey.
But the Caps somebody will sober up with the Caps now. It's like you can only go so long.
Oh yeah,
on this bender. Like they've stopped. Like has Ovechkin stopped drinking yet? I don't know.
He's Russian.
Where's his blood alcohol level like right now?
I don't know. He's Russian. He could probably still drink for another month. We shall see. Here we go.
I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
Who is it in sports or the world in general?
Sports or in life. I'm going to take you to the backyard barbecue, Zabe. I'm going to take you to the guy who, when it's 85 degrees out with 80% humidity and you're dripping and you're getting ready to have you some barbecue, the guy who tries to get you to try that new chocolate stout that he loves so much. Mr. Beer Snob Guy, pushing heavy IPAs and looking down and looking askance at me because I like Miller High Life ice cold on a hot day in the backyard. It's great. You can have your beer love. You can have your snobbery. But don't have a party and all you have is some heavy IPAs on a hot fucking day when I just want something to wet my whistle. Mr. Beer Snob Guy, fuck that guy.
Man, a chocolate stout on a summer barbecue.
I'm telling
that
you.
That is as bad as it could possibly be.
Even a heavy IPA I can't do when it's hot out and stuff. You know, like the hoppy, like, oh, man, just give me a... And yeah. Okay, make fun of me, but it's the backyard. It's America, damn it. Have yourself a Miller High Life.
Miller High Life, Miller Genuine Draft,
Miller Light,
Bud Light.
Go domestic, it's okay.
Miller Light. Yeah, exactly. Okay, this one goes to a particular Hall of Fame voter by the name of Gary Myers of the New York Daily News. I think Daily News. Gary Myers has been around. Maybe
yeah.
He's independent now. Whatever the case, he's a... He's just a squidnick. I just do not like Gary Myers whatsoever. And after T.O. said that he was not going to go to the Hall of Fame induction ceremony, Gary Myers said, well, if I had known that, I would not have voted for him to be in the Hall of Fame. Talk about a guy not getting it as to what your job actually is. Your job is to assess, is this guy worthy of forever commemoration as one of the greats of the game. That's it. It's not being party planner. It's not being the captain of whose feelings are butt hurt because he's not going to show up. It's just do your goddamn job, for which Gary Myers is not suited. He's ill-equipped. If the Hall of Fame voting committee had any balls whatsoever, any sense of righteousness, they would strip Gary Myers of his vote immediately and banish him from the room. But sadly, I have not read that they have done that yet. So I will say today to one Gary Myers, fuck that guy!
All right. That's so awesome.
Felt good for saying that.
Yeah,
Drew?
Because, well, Peter King's going around saying, they always say, well, a guy could kill somebody on Fifth Street, but it doesn't affect how he played on the field, so therefore we'd have to consider him.
Yes!
And then, because he won't go to your fucking party, it's right. That you wouldn't vote for? Like, that's insane.
Right, exactly. All right, Drew, promote. Promote and hype thyself.
Tweet at me. I love it. I won't mute you, at least as far as you know. At Drew Olson, MKE. At Drew Olson, MKE. At Drew Olson Show. Follow those Twitter accounts. See us on the iHeartRadio app on the Big 920 in Milwaukee, the Big 1070 in Madison.
All right, Drew, you're the best, buddy. Thanks.
All right, man.
All right, we'll end with this. Bees understand zero. Yes, that's what I said.
What the hell did you just say?
I told you.
What the hell did you just say?
Researchers now believe that bees, with their tiny little bee brains, can understand a surprisingly complex concept known as zero. This is from the website Quartz. QZ.com. I don't know what Quartz is, but I might have to check it out. Quartz.com writes the following. It took humans millions of years of evolution and thousands of years of study to turn nothing into something. Ancient civilizations had various number systems, but it wasn't until the 7th century AD that absence gained a presence in the Indian origin numerical scheme we now use today, becoming the mathematical concept of zero. Zero was initially represented by a dot. Well, bees, apparently, it seems, are able to grasp this abstraction as well. And it's increasingly it appears that other creatures also get the difficult notion of nothingness as well. What's so hard about nothing? Bees should know this flower has zero pollen. I'm moving on. Or... this guy with a beer in his hand gives zero fucks about our bee's nest, therefore I'm going to sting him. Zero. Don't they know this concept? A new study published in Science by an international research team shows that bees understand that nothing is less than something, a concept once thought incomprehensible to only humans, or comprehensible only to humans and nobody else. With this finding, the bees join an elite group of abstract mathematical thinkers, which includes, ready, people, parrots, monkeys, and maybe one or two others, who all have been shown to understand the idea of an empty set. Said one researcher, because bees have a miniature brain that can acquire the ability to understand the concept of zero as part of a number sequence, it gives us important insights into how larger brains process numbers and how we may have developed the use of zero for technology. For a long time, scientists assumed that due to its complexity, the concept of numerical quantity of nothing, or zero, was beyond the reach of any animal, much less a tiny bee. Zero is, after all, the strange placeholder between positive and negative numbers. And it's the cornerstone of calculus. Oh, I had no idea. Because I didn't pass calculus. I don't think I even took calculus. My brain is mathematically not much better than bees. I gotta be honest. Even after its introduction in the 7th century, many humans rejected the valueless number. And it wasn't until the 13th century endorsement of Italian mathematician Leonardo Pisano, better known by his nickname Fibonacci, that the Roman Empire accepted the concept. Since then, humans have flattered themselves thinking that zero is too difficult for anyone else to know. Quote, the number zero is central to contemporary mathematics and to our scientifically and technologically advanced culture, yet it is a difficult number to understand, say the researchers. Children grasp the symbolic number zero long after they start to understand, at around the age of 4, that nothing can be a numerical quantity and that the empty set that is smaller than 1. I'm now confused even further because I thought zero was an easy concept to get. Right? Like, hey, I've got 1 chiclet. That's good. I have 0 chiclets. That's not good. But I don't have -1 chiclet, which means, let's say the next chiclet I acquire, I owe it to somebody else. Like, I'm in the hole, 1 chiclet. I've got to give you or somebody else that little piece of candy or gum that, oh, I want this. No, you're -1 chiclet. Oh. I wish I was just 0 chiclet. Then the next one I would get would be all mine to chew. All right, I'll read more of this article later. You can look it up yourself. Bees understand zero, which probably is a harbinger of the beepocalypse, in which we are attacked by bees and overrun by bees, and that's the end of civilization. Somebody should make a movie about it. Maybe call it, I don't know, The Bees. What's that? It's already been done, huh? Oh. Well, then never mind. Fuck you. I thought I had a good idea, like Mike Francesa had a good idea with DraftKings about 5 years late. That'll be a wrap for today. You know the drill. Tell 2 friends and hit up that Reddit thread about how great this is. Leave a positive review and rating. Download, subscribe at all the major podcast outlets. Thank you for listening. Thank you for enduring a lot of hockey talk. We're off to the summer, I promise. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.